B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
And our next guest, who is charged with calling games in a very different and unusual way, he, of course, is the play-by-play announcer for Sixers games on NBC Sports Philadelphia, the great Mark Zumoff. Hello, Mark Zumoff.
Mikey, what's up, my man?
Well, it's getting close. And I first of all, we get your whole general spin on this, but specifically, what's going through your head on how you're going to pull this off? So first of all, the bubble, it's locked down. They're going to go through with it. They're going to be on the flights tomorrow through to Thursday, get down there, quarantine the whole bit, and then we roll. What is your whole opinion on whether the NBA can pull this off or not?
Certainly, I'm not a public health expert, but as I think about it, and first of all, let me just say that when Adam Silver is in charge, I put my full faith and credit behind him. I think he does a great job. I think that he is up for this challenge. Remember, he was the first commissioner to stop play because of COVID. So he's forward thinking. He's progressive. He's involved the players and the players union. He's been consulting with anyone of a number of public health people all along. So I think he knows what he's doing. I think that the NBA, aside from the financial ramifications, certainly sees the public benefit of doing something like this. And quite frankly, as a group, and I don't know how many there's going to be, 35 times however many teams and, you know, other officials and whatnot, maybe 1,000 or 1,500, something like that, they will be in a very controlled environment. So when you think about it, the players are going to have not only all of their facilities to work out and, of course, their hotel rooms, but there's going to be recreation areas. There's going to be things that they can do within the Disney complex. They'll have mental health people. They'll have yoga. It's going to be its own little city. So, you know, when you think about it, with all the testing that's going to be going on, with the temperature checks that are going to happen certainly every day and sometimes twice a day, you know, I feel pretty good about it. And I'm excited to be participating, even though I won't be there. I'm looking forward to what I anticipate will be games on NBC Sports Philadelphia at some point.
All right, so, and I get the point you're making. There's going to be like a zero grid because everybody's going to be tested. So everybody is fresh and sanitized, and it's about playing basketball in the bubble. But that's not where it stops, unfortunately. People are going to be coming in. People are going to be coming out. I don't know how tight they're going to be able to control that. And I guess what I'm saying is there's always a chance that someone is going to test positive. And so what do you like, and just, it's not going to just be one, and we're seeing it in other sports where people are testing positive. So what happens at that point? What's their plan to handle that?
Well, it's my understanding that if someone tests positive, they will be quarantined and they'll probably do some contact tracing just to make sure that they didn't come in contact with anyone else who is in that sphere, so to speak. And then they will do what they will normally do. I would think that somewhere, somehow, somebody is considering, well, what if you get X amount of cases? Will that necessitate some sort of drastic action? But I'm fairly confident, and again, I'm not a public health official, but I'm fairly confident that with all the measures the NBA is taking, whether they're preventative or measures they have to take in case someone does have the virus, they will deal with it accordingly. So this is going to happen. There's too much momentum now, whether it's the league or the teams or the accompanying media or whatever, for this to stop. And, you know, we'll see. They're going to be down there very shortly. There will be quarantining. They're going to have some scrimmage games. They're really going to ease into this. And, you know, I would like to think that with a minimum amount of issues, whether it's infections or whatever, that this thing is going to go off and they're going to be able to finish the season.
Talking to Mark Zumoff, he's going to bring us the games. We'll talk about it in a second, how he's going to bring it. We just had Josh Richardson on, and one of the things he admitted at the top was he's scared. And a lot of these players are scared. And so, you know, it's certainly a higher priority than summer camp. But like, you used to get scared going to summer camp. You didn't know what was up when you went, once you get there. These guys, I think it's good that they're scared, because that means to me they're going to take it seriously to embrace the discipline of staying in place while they're there, instead of, you know, getting itchy to do something. Do you see it that way?
I'm hoping so. I hope that, you know, to if it's scared or if it's just a lot of concern, and therefore, as you say, that equals a fair or a good amount of caution. And again, the NBA has issued, and I don't know if you've seen it, but there is a handbook that we've been made privy to as members of the media, where there are going to be a lot of different things for players to do. So, you know, whether it's the gaming that they like or fraternity, that sort of thing. I do know that once you get into the playoffs, there's a particular point where a limited number of family members will be able to come down and visit. So, because by then, if you're still around, you've been there, I don't know, let's say a month and a half, close to 2 months, you're going to need some outside family or significant others to come down. So, listen, I'll admit that I would be concerned. I don't know if I would put the word scared behind it, but again, you're in a controlled environment. You're not going to be going to the beach. You're not going to be going to, other places where you can make contact with people who might have the virus. So I think for, you know, what it is, it's as safe as you can get. And we've already seen some examples now. I was watching Premier League action today. I'm a Tottenham fan, and I was watching their game. And it's kind of weird to see it without fans in an empty stadium, but they've been going, and I haven't heard of anything where they feel the necessity to, you know, to stop playing because of an unusual amount of infection.
I guess here's my biggest fear, that there always is a knucklehead. And that knucklehead goes outside the bubble, and there's this no snitch culture where people know he goes outside the bubble, and then he comes back, and he's not ID'd, but according to the protocol, where he would have to be isolated at that point, and then that spreads something. That's my biggest fear of this whole thing, and I hope it doesn't happen.
Well, and that's where it comes down to testing and the frequency of it, and that if that happens every day, or at the very least every other day, hopefully you catch it in time, so that between isolating that person and whatever contact tracing you have to do, hopefully you've nipped it in the bud, so to speak, and it hasn't gotten out of hand. So I hear what you're saying, and as best as those plans will be laid forth, you're right, Mike, there is the possibility that, you know, something could happen that was unforeseen, but hopefully they have all of the fail safes in place that it won't become too big of a problem.
All right, Mark Zuboff, we're talking to, and let's get to the broadcasting part of this. Very, very different environment here. What will your prep be like? How will it change when you anticipate the moment? What are we going to see with Mark Zuboff calling games?
So the prep is obviously different, because before a game, it's prime time for me. There are any one of a number of coaches, players, scouts, NBA people who are around that you schmooze with, and then by the time you hit the air, you are full of stories and nuggets and late-breaking information and that sort of thing. That's not going to be able to happen. Fortunately, the Sixers PR staff is great, and over the years, because I've been doing the game for a while, I've been able to develop some really good, solid relationships with members of the coaching staff and some other folks. Elton Brand has always been great. So between all of that, I will get my information that way. It won't be in person, and I'm going to have to be dependent on those people to be my eyes and ears, but that will be that. As it relates to doing the games, again, not official from NBC Sports Philadelphia in terms of what games we'll be doing. There's a lot of chainsaws being juggled now, as you might imagine, with the Phillies coming back and the Flyers and the NHL coming back. So all that's to be determined. But it's my best guess that we won't be in Orlando, and we'll be remote, and they will give us whatever they can in terms of monitors or statistical information or anything that we can get from on site that will hopefully enhance what it is that I can bring to viewers at home. I'll be doing the game off a monitor. I've done that before. It'll be strange, admittedly, doing it without fans or crowd effects or anything like that. But it is what it is, and it'll become what it'll become. And then whatever it is, I'm looking forward to it when it if it comes.
Where will the monitor be? Will you be doing this from home? Will they have the?
No. So I anticipate that we'll be in some remote location. I would say in all likelihood somewhere at the arena, because we already have facilities there. We already are hooked in technically in terms of, broadcast locations and booths and trucks and production facilities and that sort of thing. So all that's going to, it won't take place in Orlando, but in all likelihood it'll be somewhere at the arena.
Yeah, that's the reason why I asked it, because I know that the building has been closed for a while, and, you know, Booney's producing this show from a remote location. I didn't know whether that studio is going to be reopened so you guys can do this. And if so, then where's that put Ala, and where does Serena figure in on the broadcast?
So we'll in all likelihood be socially distanced, as any people who are working in an environment will be. And I'm sure that there will be a complete set of protocols as it relates to entering the building, where we're allowed to go, who we're allowed to interact with. And, you know, I do it now anyway, whether I go out for a walk with my wife or, you know, we happen to go food shopping, you wear a mask, you stay socially distanced, you know, all that sort of thing, plus some other things that are relative to the workplace, I'm sure will be enforced.
All right. So I've been watching the PGA, and they have been socially distancing their broadcast, and they set up a microphone and the golfer comes to that microphone. Is that a possibility in your broadcast? And will Serena be down there to facilitate it or not?
Yeah, no, Serena is very much going to be a part of it. And I would imagine that there will be some way in which a post-game guest can be connected to her, and she'll be back with us and she'll do the interview remotely. Obviously, she's not going to be in Orlando,
mm-hmm.
So she'll just do the interview remotely, and we'll work it from that perspective. I'd like to think, Mike, that the viewer is going to be just happy to have Sixers basketball, especially if they do well. And although it's not going to be the kind of presentation that we normally give them with fans and being with the players and being able to get firsthand information, I think it's still going to be a pretty good product.
All right. Sounds good. This is a big week, so we can actually see the forest here, and we look forward to getting your broadcast and watching Sixer basketball again. And I guess I have to ask you the ultimate question, because we're in a discussion back and forth on what makes the people that look at the Sixers as a dangerous candidate to win the East now that we've been away from them. What has changed from what you saw previously?
That's a really good question. And it's not one that I'm prepared to answer. Certainly one thing that has changed is you have Joel Embiid. Of course, he did play that one game before the COVID shutdown, but you know that he's healthy, and you know that Ben Simmons is healthy and is moving around perfectly. And as Serena Winters reported, moving around to the point where it's as if he didn't even have an injury. So everybody is healthy, which is good. Remember, they only had their starting lineup for about a third of what of the games that were already played. And I certainly think that the three scrimmages and the eight seeding games will be as much about finding lineups and finding combinations and that sort of thing as it will be about winning. This is going to be a real challenge for the coaches. I'd like to think that they're up for it. You know, they've had plenty of time to plan, but they're going to have to do what they have to do to get the team ready for the playoffs. And that's what we've been hearing from Sixers management, that this is a team that has been geared toward playoff basketball. Whatever form that takes now in this current iteration, and we don't know what playoff basketball or regular basketball is going to look like, they say that this is a team that has been geared toward the playoffs. So when that comes, we'll see how they perform.
There's a lot of talk about Shake Milton being in that starting lineup. Are you feeling the Shake, Josh Richardson, Ben Simmons perimeter with Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid with Horford coming off the bench, or do you anticipate Horford going back in the starting lineup?
I certainly think it's possible for Shake to start, but remember, that lineup did not start in any of those 60-some games that were played. So it's easier said than done to say, oh, Shake Milton, he's been playing well, be great, he's another shooter, he can create off the ball, he can allow Ben Simmons off the ball, bring Al Horford off the bench, mix and match him with Embiid, blah, 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 blah. But again, that's easier said than done because they haven't really fielded that lineup at all. Mm-hmm. So again, I stress with the three or so weeks that they had before, you know, the seeding games and the three scrimmages, I do believe as much as that will be about winning, it's also going to be about lineup combinations and starting lineups. And, you know, we'll see how it flushes itself out. Mid-August is playoff time, and that's when the rubber is going to hit the road.
Mark, always a pleasure. Best of luck to you with this monumental task here as we get Sixer basketball back in our lives. We appreciate
I'll tell you what, it's the people on the front lines who are dealing with COVID patients. They're the ones who have the monumental task. Me, I'm just sitting in front of a monitor and enjoying the world's greatest game and watching my team play.
I gotcha. Thanks for coming on.
You got it, my man.
All right, there's Mark Zuboff.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.